HBO Max production card.
Big round of applause for Aida Rodriguez!
An announcer calls into a mic on stage. Aida buys food from a vendor. The Puerto Rican flag flaps in the wind. Dominican Republic flags line a street. Aida has coffee, dances with others on the street, shops for street art, and listens to street performers. She dances on stage, visits sites on the island, and shops at an outdoor book market with a man and a woman in their 20s. Aida holds the mic and dances on stage. Her hair is braided and she wears a white short jumper and metallic high heels. She points to the audience. The title reads, Aida Rodriguez, Fighting Words. Aida smiles at the audience as she holds the mic with both hands.
What?
A water bottle sits on a stool behind her.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm so happy to be here tonight. Yes. In the Boogie Down Bronx. In the food stamp building. What? Poetic justice. I've come full circle. Those of you who, I see the white people like the food stamp building. Are we in danger? You absolutely are. It's a bunch of Puerto Ricans and Dominicans in here that owe you.
Aida smiles at the audience as she holds the mic in both hands.
Man, I see you're excited. Everybody is so happy to be outside. Are you happy to be outside? The animals are pissed though, right? Right, white ladies?
Aida scans across the audience.
The white ladies talk to them. They know. They know. It's up. People of color always get weird when I say something funny about a white person because y'all have Stockholm Syndrome. But when I tell a white woman, you talk to the animals, they're like, yes, bitch, we talk to the animals. And they talk back. Because we all got a little Ace Ventura in us. The animals were pissed that we're free, right? The animals are mad. They've been so upset about us being free because when COVID first started, do you remember how happy the animals were? The animals were like, yes, they are sick and they're dying. Yo, they were celebrating. Mountain goats were running through the streets of Wales. Did you see them? People were looking at the animals like, what are you doing outside? And they were looking at the people like, bitch, what are you doing outside? You're supposed to be locked up in the house. Man, monkeys in India, they took over the streets outside of the presidential palace. Did you see? They were like daring people to come outside. They were like, oh, you big and bad now. Come outside, bitch. Let's go. Come on out here. All the animals got together. They were in peace and harmony. They were not eating each other. They weren't fighting. They all poured out a little liquor for that bat that took one for the team in China. They're like, what's that for the homie? Oh man, that's an urban joke. I love it. I'm urban as fuck. You see me? Puerto Rican flag.
She points to one side of the stage.
Dominican flag.
She points to the other side of the stage.
No fighting. We need to take note from the animals, people. We need to take note from the animals. Let me tell you, because if we don't get our shit together, when the aliens come, they come, they gonna fuck all of us up, right? When the aliens come, you gonna see the KKK and the Proud Boys go get them Black Lives Matter March people and be like, come on, we gotta go get these purple motherfuckers. Let's hold hands and sing, we are the world.
Aida pretends to hold a hand.
I'm talking about white supremacists wanting to be friends with us because, you know, they can't fight that well. They ain't got no hands. People are always asking me what I think about white supremacists because I do a lot of political commentary, or I used to. I retired from that shit because you people are exhausting. But I did. I did. And listen, people are like, hey, how did you feel about all these marches? And I'm like, what am I supposed to say? I masturbated to it, like, fuck. I thought the shit was whack. It's disappointing. They're like, racism is disappointing, isn't it? I'm like, that's not why I was disappointed. You saw all the white boys, they got together. They all put on the same outfit. They all had on the khaki pants, the same shirt, They all look like Doug from Nickelodeon. The world is watching. They went and bought all those tiki torches. It was dynamic. It was explosive to watch. And then when they started marching, no rhythm. No rhythm. And that's why they got violent, because they kept bumping into each other, right? I was like, that's what happens to a man who doesn't get any pussy. When you bump into him, he wants to beat you.
Ida paces forward on the stage.
It's kind of my humor. I see some of y'all got weirded out. It's probably because you're a white supremacist. Or you're fucking one. I will say that, you know, liberals who pride themselves in being liberals can also be problematic. And I think as a woman of color, it is my job to point that out. You know, woke people, where the woke people at? Y'all still admit that shit in public? That shit is corny as fuck. Remember woke people walking around with the woke as fuck shirts on? I know my pronouns. I was homeless, and one of the woke people was tweeting me and told me, we don't say homeless, we say unhoused.
She nods with a straight face.
I was like, bitch, did you tweet that from the comfort of your own home?
Ida looks out at the audience.
She was like, home is where the heart is. I was like, the heart ain't under a fucking bridge. I hate woke people. Woke people. The woke people are always getting beat up by the sleep people. You notice this? They're always crying, and I don't want to be woke. I'm a revolutionary. I'm tired of people beating us and us praying for them. They're always, oh, words hurt. I'm like, so do uppercuts, bitch. Learn how to block.
She shields her face with her hand.
The fake-ass woke people in Los Angeles, where I live, were throwing up those Black Lives Matter signs during the marches, and they only put up them signs so that nobody would break their windows. They were like, they're marching up our street, Lucille. Throw the sign up. Hurry up. Hurry up. Not the rainbow. That's next month. Not the rainbow. Y'all fake asses. Tell you a story about a woke person. There's this Chinese lady in San Francisco who was attacked by a white supremacist. This dude got up one morning and said, I'm going to go fuck some Asian people up. He put on his white supremacist uniform. He put on some fatigue pants and a backpack. He rolled out and started harassing Asian people, and he beat an Asian man. Then he ran up on this 70-something-year-old Asian woman, and he punched her in the eye, and he hit her so hard, her eye was shut closed. And that lady pulled out a pipe and beat the shit out of that white supremacist man.
Ida holds the mic close to her mouth.
You saw it. She whooped it. First of all, that lady had been in a fight before. Because ain't nobody walking around with no pipe in their purse. And she won a fight before, too. She beat the shit out of that man. You hear me? And look, the camera was on the lady, and her eye was shut closed. It was so pitiful. You felt sad for her. Then the camera pulled out, and he was on the stretcher crying. And he was like, no! And she looked into the camera and started speaking Chinese. And I was like, that's an old gangster bitch. I want to be friends with her. I was like, yes! I want to be friends with her. I tried to get her to come here tonight. I admire people who fight for themselves, because I always didn't fight for myself. I remember being an old punk-ass kid when I was in kindergarten. I'm still mad about a fight that I lost. This bitch named Eve kicked me in my throat. And I should have known, because she was 5 and her name was Eve. Kicked me in my throat. I've always been tall. She had a vertical leap out this world. And I didn't fight back. I didn't fight back because my family was so ghetto, and my uncles were always in the streets, and I thought that I was taking the high road. At that young age, I knew. You know what I'm saying? I was like, I was being indignant. I didn't fight her. She put her hands on me. I looked like a dumbass. And I'm still mad about it. I haven't let it go. And I'm gonna fight this bitch when I see her. I've been looking for her all over the place. Like, I check for her on Facebook and Instagram. I check prison logs in Florida. I check all the cashiers at Walmart and Big Lots. Cause I'm gonna beat this bitch's ass. And when I fight her, listen, I don't care if this bitch is in a wheelchair, it's going down, you hear me? First, I hope she's in a wheelchair, so when I kick her back in the throat, I ain't gotta lift my leg that high.
Ida does a kicking motion.
I saw some of y'all got uncomfortable with that joke. Cause you don't think an abusive bitch that ended up in a wheelchair for karma deserves getting her ass beat in a wheelchair. And that's why woke people ain't shit.
She shakes her head at the audience.
Ah, I can't stand y'all. Listen, when I was a kid, I was a punk, and I'm honest about it. I didn't even play the dozens. For those of you who don't know what the dozens are, it's like snapping, cracking, roasting for street cred, and nothing is off limits. Because ghetto children are cruel. So your mama's not off limits, AIDS is not off limits, cancer. And I was tender. I would be like, that's why you got on those dirty Payless shoes. And the kids would be like, that's why your uncle sucked a dick for a crack rock. I'd be like, oh shit, I think I lost. I'm not good at this game. And how you know about my uncle?
She smiles.
Man, I couldn't even seek comfort in my mother because my mother was a savage beast, right? My stepfather used to call my mother La Fiera, right? That means wild, savage beast. Think of a Wolverine. That's Margarita, right? I couldn't even go to her. My mother used to... Listen, my Black American friends would say to me, my mama beat me with a switch. And I would be like, oh, yeah? My mama said to me, mal rayo te parta. That means may lightning strike you in half. I'm like, who are you, 50 Cent, bitch? I'm 7. God, I couldn't even go to her for normal shit. Like, if somebody called me ugly, like a normal person would say, Mommy, Sophia said I was ugly. And their normal mother would say, honey, consider the source. Not Margarita. I'd be like, Mommy, Sophia said I was ugly. She'd be like, you talking about the bitch whose mother fucked her own brother? You let a product of incest make you feel bad about yourself? You on the honor roll, bitch. What's wrong with you? She was hard. But I'll tell you what, I know my mother loved me. My mother had her situation, like many of us who come from the situations that we come from by design. So my mom was a little rough around the edges, but she would show up for me. My mother used to do my hair like this when I was little, two parted in the middle and do two ponytails. I still do it like this because I have Stockholm Syndrome. And she was doing my hair one time, and I kept complaining about it hurting. And my best friend says, that's because Miss Pagliaro is always hitting her in the head with those big fat pencils. And I knew in that very moment that the next day of school was gonna be the most embarrassing day of my life. 100%. The next day of school, I'm pacing. My stomach hurts, diarrhea, because I'm a Virgo. The whole time, just messed up in my stomach. And I thought we were home free, and I'm lining up for lunch, and I hear in the background, where's she at? ¿Dónde está la hija de la gran puta que le gusta dar a mi hija? And all the kids in my class pointed at Miss Pagliaro. They didn't even know my mother. They just knew she was the solution. Like, they were like, that's the bitch who keeps hitting us in the head with the pencil. That's the lady you want right there. My mother walked up to her and she's like, I heard you like hitting little kids in the head with pencils. She was like, excuse me? She took off her shoe, jumped up, and popped her in the head. Un chancletazo. And all the kids started cheering. I was like watching, like I was embarrassed. Then I started cheering too because I realized that that bitch was going to jail. I was like, I'm about to get a break. I'm going to foster care with the white lady that has an apple. apple pie and a cat in the house. That principal came and got my mother and said, Miss Rodriguez, we need you to come with us. And she grabbed Miss Pagliaro and she said, come on, bitch, you coming too. She said, I'm going to jail for assault, but you going to jail for child abuse. And just like that, all my dreams down the drain. She didn't go to jail. They let her go because they didn't want that problem, right? The only thing I learned about that experience was that kindergartners are some old snitch-ass bitches.
Ida nods emphatically.
Miss Pagliaro, that was the first white lady in my life that abused me. Speaking of white ladies, white women had a tough year, a tough couple of years. Am I right? They call me Karen. It was a rough year for white women. White men turned on white women. I'm a comedian. You seen all the comics talking shit about white. White men are clever. White men colonized everybody on the planet, including white women. They were like, no, bitch, you sit in the back of the bus too. One white woman ruined the barbecue and then she became the problem. I'm like, well played, white men. That's chess, not checkers. White women have been standing on the front line for abortion forever. We don't even know that that is an act of allyship. They're like, yo, these white men are evil and we ain't making no more of them.
She stares seriously, then cracks up.
They tried to warn us. I knew the world was changing when I saw a white woman get her ass beat by the cops. I did. I was like, that's the America Martin Luther King was talking about. And there was a perfectly good black man standing 6 feet away from her because he was social distancing. And she looked at that cop like, you gonna beat me with this perfectly good black dude standing right here? Calling your manager in the morning. Yo, white women stood in front of black people during the Black Lives Matter marches. I don't know if you saw this. One white woman did naked yoga. Google it. She did naked yoga. She was standing there. She was like, yo, I'm gonna show him this pussy. Y'all run that way. Go. She was like, downward dog. She did the whole thing. It's amazing. But the white people were also getting beat up in LA. They got on their knees. And they put their hands behind their back, and they served as a barrier between the police and the black people until the police started shooting. Then they ran to the back. They were like, you know what? Black people been in the back too long. Y'all go to the front. I do wanna, you know, that's enough about white women because I have to talk about something very important, and it's here tonight, Latinos, right?
Ida points to the audience.
Latinx people, Latine people. I gotta make sure I call everybody by their proper label.
She shakes her head with a serious expression.
Did I miss one? No. Thanks. No, we got issues. We flex on each other over that dumb shit. I'm half Puerto Rican and half Dominican. And I didn't know I was half Dominican until I got older. Because they didn't tell me. They broke it to me like it was bad news. Yo, serious. They're like, we gotta talk to you. Probably not gonna like this. But you're half Dominican. You don't have to tell nobody. So I went to Puerto Rico and the Dominican Republic because I wanted to embrace my roots. Because that shit will fuck with your self-esteem when you have people telling you stuff like that. And I went there, and I went to Puerto Rico. I went to the Dominican Republic. There was a white girl on our crew. And she said, after we went to both places, y'all kind of the same. And then I was like, no, we have very different, you know, we have different customs. And she was like, no, y'all the same. And I was like, no, we don't we look different? She was like, no, y'all are the same. She was like, I don't know what you guys are talking about. And it was funny because I was like, well, language, you know, because we all have our own dialects. And she was like, oh, well, you know, maybe, but y'all kind of the same. And we do with language because Latinos like to flex on other Latinos. Nobody holds us down like we hold each other down, right? So with language. Oh, those Puerto Ricans are ghetto. They don't know how to speak correct Spanish because they say, ajo. The Puerto Ricans know what I'm talking about. Right? They be like, the Dominicans, they all sound like they singing un merengue. Ajo! Let me do that. Scaring people all over the place, right? Nobody scares them like the Cubans, right? The Cubans be like, hey, che guy! You be like, oh, shit, is he mad? No, he's actually saying happy birthday. Some Latinos didn't teach their children Spanish because they wanted them to assimilate. And, you know, they let white people convince them not to learn how to speak the language that they were going to need to get a job. And Latinos were like, okay. And then there are the people like my parents who made us learn Spanish first and then sent us to school to speak English. And then they put us at ESOL and called us special. Right? I'd be like, yo, this bitch is 12 and don't know how to say butter in English. Put her in the back. Put her in the back. It's kind of flex all the time, right? We have all this flex, and it's so stupid, right? Pronunciando la Z. Those people? Oh, they're so regal. Nosotros hablamos así. Bitch, you spitting on me. Back the fuck up and put some sunscreen on. You're gonna die in the sun, bitch.
She scans the audience.
And there's a myth, right? They say, oh, they talk like that because King Ferdinand had a lisp. And they speak that way to honor him. But that shit isn't true. That never really happened. It just turned out that they're just a bunch of assholes. We have this ethnic spectrum that contains all of the races. We have white, we got black, we got Asian, we got indigenous. We got everybody. You got Latinos walking around flexing their Spanish blood on us, saying, I have pure Castilian blood. You ever heard them? I'm like, we all do. The Spaniards fucked everybody. You ain't saying nothing. So dumbass, the fuck out of here. Our families got people of all colors, right? Like, my mom has a whole bunch of kids that look all different, right? Like, my siblings are here. My brother, Chino, I ain't got to tell you how he looks.
Ida points to the front row.
I got my sister, the white one, Yasmin, right? She gets us in the club. I have my brother, who looks Latino. His name is Carlos, of course. And then there's me, right? The indigenous, negra, depending on who you're asking, right? And I have a really good friend of mine. My white friend came to my house and saw my siblings, and I could see the confusion on her face. She was looking at us. She was like, yo, y'all got the same father? And I was like, you trying to call my mama a hoe, bitch? I was like, yeah, we got the same father. As a matter of fact, we do. And his name is Colin. And that confused her even more. She was like, Colin. And listen, she was percolating. She had the, it sat with her for a while. She sat around. She couldn't take it, pacing. She's like, Ida, your father's name is Colin? I was like, yeah, colonization, bitch. I was like, yes.
Ida smiles as she holds the mic to her mouth.
If your great-great-great-grandfather would have kept his dick to himself, we would look like a Benetton. And I say black and indigenous when it comes to me because identity is very different. And we like 20 years behind in the Latino community. Because I can't say that I'm black because I'm light-skinned, but in to black American people, I'm just one of Quincy Jones's daughters. We are this shit going back and forth, and we have code words for black, right? We say morena, black, trigueña, black, mulata, black, mestiza, black, java, black with freckles. It's all black nonetheless. I grew up in a black and brown neighborhood, and my black American friend says to me, you think you cute because you light-skinned and got good hair? And I'm like, I'm light-skinned and I got good hair? What? I'm rolling with these bitches. She was like, you know, if we were in slavery, you'd be in the house. And I said, you know, if we were in slavery, we'd be in slavery. The fuck does my location matter? What the hell do you think was happening in the house? You thought we was turning up? I'd rather be out in the field with LeBron James, right? Than in the house getting fucked by the Quaker Oats, man.
She laughs.
Yo, have you seen the Quaker Oats, man? Even the white women are like, we don't want him either, bitch. We want LeBron, too. I was dealing with this shit my whole life. Listen, my family was religious, Kojic, Pentecostal, Seventh-day Adventist, super religious, anti-abortion, until I got pregnant from a black dude. Then they became pro-abortion in the name of Jesus. They were like, he'll forgive you. Too much truth for you tonight.
She looked seriously at the audience.
Tell the truth. Yeah. Tell the truth and shame the devil.
She laughs.
Not my mother, though. My mom don't have the tools to be a racist because her whole family looks like that Benetton ad that I talked to you about. My mom had a problem with him because he was Muslim, not because he was black. Because if you ever want to piss a Puerto Rican mother off, you come home with somebody who doesn't believe in Jesus or eat pork. That's how you get kicked out the house. She be like, ¿qué? That's how you get kicked out the house. And my ex, he spoke in the, you know, he converted to Islam. He did the whole thing. He be walking around, assalamu alaikum, bismillah, Allahu Akbar, aki. He was doing all of that. And she was like, hello, Dylan. Sit down so you can have a meal. And she served him a pork chop. And he was like, sorry, Miss Rodriguez, I'm Muslim. I don't eat pork. And my mother was like, mira, este come mierda. No come puerco, pero come culo. She was like, that means, look at this dumbass. He don't eat pork, but he eat ass. Okay. She was like, assalamu alaikum, Dylan.
She holds the mic in both hands as she shifts forward.
They laughing because they know these people, you know? They're like, she really telling on us. I also, listen, through this journey, I had an opportunity to go to the Dominican Republic and meet my father for the first time. And it's funny because we sat in a restaurant and every time a woman walked in, he would be like, that's your sister. It happened a few times. He was so generous, he gave us each our own mothers. He was like, Oprah, you get a mother, you get a mother.
Ida points across the room.
Oh.
Ida stands in one spot.
And it's funny because he was trying to relate to me and he was like, mami, tú sabes, you know, you a performer because I used to be a performer. I used to sing. And he was like, I used to sing about the beaches. And I was like, the ocean? He was like, no, the beaches. He was saying the bitches. But oh, papi doesn't do that anymore. You want to know why he don't do it no more? Because he woke. Oh, God. He's woke now. And he sings about the environment. He does. He sings about the environment, global warming. He sings bachata about the environment. And he let me hear his first single. He played it for me when I was there. It's about the turtles, because you know there's a crisis in Puerto Rico and in the Dominican Republic with the turtles. And he played the song for me, and that shit is trash. Yo, that song is so bad, it made me want to go throw straws in the ocean. I was like, man, fuck them turtles, man. You need to go back and sing about the beaches. That was weird. That's how we deal with this shit, comedians. We talk about the shit that hurts sometimes. And I think it's funny because I'll stand by that song being trash. You know what I'm saying? I've talked a lot about the differences of Latinos and some of the things that are divisive and make us complicated, but I do want to praise us because we are beautiful people and I love us. And as complicated as we are, we are fucking phenomenal. We're beautiful. And I'll tell you this, one thing that we all have in common is we love food and we love our grandmothers. Yes, abuela is key. I mean, many of us got raised by our grandmothers, right? So I love my grandmother. And I'll tell you, a lot of people of color, like Asian people love their grandparents. Black people love their grandparents, my dear. Jewish people call their grandmothers Bubby. You know, regular white people, Mima. They love their grandmothers. It's just rich white people. They lock them up. They be like, keep talking shit. You going to Shady Acres, young lady. Keep fucking with me. I'm gonna take your house.
Ida nods to the audience.
They be locking them up. They be like, this one's for boarding school, asshole. They fucking are hilarious. Not us, though. We ride our grandparents till the wheels fall off. We do. And we be fucking our old grandparents. Yo, I don't know what's worse, the home or the house of an ethnic person and for a grandparent. Grandma be on a walker, just got a hip replacement, holding a baby. She got a babysit because you want to be a hoe. They be like, ah, walking around. We be making them do shit they don't want to do. Wait a minute, my grandma gonna make her homemade biscuits. Hold on. Grandma be like, I'm coming, baby. It's so fucked up. Come to the house and be like, yo, you got a skeleton in the crib? You're like, that's not a skeleton. That's the matriarch of this family. I mean, you will not be disrespecting my abuela Pancha like that. I'm gonna be a grandmother one day, because I have older kids. We grew up together, my children and I. The Latinos get it, right? They're like, we kind of all grew up with our parents, because you remember when your grandmother turned 40? I do. I was like, that shit was lit. Ooh, we turned up.
She smiles.
You know, my kids are older now, and I talk to them. We have these conversations and reflect on their childhood. I remember when my daughter was a teenager, she and I was talking about it, right? My daughter, they grew up in the suburbs, right? And my daughter looked me in my eye in my own home and said, I hate you. And I was like, I'm so glad you said it first. Like, thank you for releasing me of this burden. Like, I've been holding on to this since you were nine. Like, been waiting on the right time to tell you. I feel the same way you do. But I could never say I hate you to my mother. That bitch was a lunatic. My siblings, my mother would drop kick me like the bitch in kindergarten, and I would sound like the lady from the no smoking commercial. You know that lady? I talk back to my mother. She kicked me in the throat. I've been talking like this ever since. Smoke cigarettes, don't talk back to your mother. Straight up.
Ida stands at the front of the stage, smiling at the audience.
As a mom, like, I feel like I need to talk about it because my kids are older now, but they don't leave. That was a joke. They don't. They grow up, but they don't leave. At least my don't. They don't leave. Look, Latino kids don't leave. That's why we're dysfunctional. We got problems with the men. Our kids don't leave. I just got to get that off my chest. And I adored those kids. I mean, I fought 3 third graders for my son. That's when I started fighting, when I had somebody that I love more than myself. I wasn't enough to fight for, but I fought for those kids. My son got jumped in third grade by these future criminals. And I threw all of them up against the wall. And I was like, look, if you ever touch my son again, I'ma kill y'all. So mad. And I was like, if you could tell your mom when she gets out of jail that I'm here every day. Because I love my kids. And the next day, the mom showed up. One of the moms, and she was like, did you touch my kid? I said, as a matter of fact, I pushed all three of them up against the wall. I said, because they jumped my son. And she said, thank you. I can't get them to listen. And I was like, the first ass whooping is free. But if you want me to keep doing this shit, bitch, you're going to have to pay me, because they going to jail. They definitely going to jail. I was one of those mothers that was always driving around her kids. Everybody knew me and my Camry. My daughter used to put safety pins to hold up the roof that she destroyed in the first place. And I learned to reconcile my road rage through my children because I was always in a car. And I'll help you. Like, I started making psychological assessments about people according to how they drive. It really helps. Like, people who won't let you in will never let you in. They're dark, evil people. Stop rolling up to their windows begging them for acceptance. They hate you, and they're never gonna let you in. People who tailgate have abandonment issues. And that's why they driving so close, because they need a hug. And people who switch lanes without signals don't use condoms.
She waves her hand back and forth.
Stay away from them, ladies. They'll ruin your life. Yo, speaking of relationships, it's funny because I have a friend named Cece who is paranoid and always on high alert. Like, she always thinks somebody's trying to do something to us. Everywhere we go, she's like, look, he's looking at us. He's gonna do something to us. Why does he keep looking at us? I'm like, bitch, because he's trying to take our order. He works here. And she thinks it's funny to drop fun facts about the places that I go to. Because women are constantly under attack, right? The femicide rates have gone up. Puerto Rico got a problem. Dominican Republic got a problem. And America has a problem. So women walk around scared because we have to be scared because men are crazy, right? And so everywhere I go, like Montana, she's like, you know, they got a high missing rate of indigenous women. And you one of them Taina bitches. And I'll tell you, I went to Ohio, and Cece sent me some fun facts because she thinks the shit is funny. And she's like, yo, fun fact, Ohio has the most missing women in all of America. Fun fact, Ohio has the most missing women of color in all of America. Fun fact, Ohio has the most missing women of color over 35 in America. They snatching old bitches too. Have fun in Ohio. And she always sends a little emoji. And I get to Ohio, and what happens? A serial killer is apprehended for murdering women that he was hiding in the back of his house while his girlfriend lived there. Yeah, he would go out and kill women and rape them. Talk about side bitches.
She shakes her head and rolls her eyes, then breaks into a smile and scans the audience.
His girlfriend actually had moved out right before he was apprehended. And because she felt something was going on. You can't even go to the bathroom with me. I'd be like, where are you going? You got 6 minutes to pee and come back. That's how much I trust men. But this woman was interviewed by a reporter, and you can see that she was in shock. And I could see it all over her face. Like, they asked her, what are you feeling right now? And I'm thinking to myself, I know exactly what she's feeling. I'm a woman. She's like, he never tried to choke me once. All these bitches look better than me. My boyfriend thinks I'm ugly.
Ida smiles as she looks side to side at the audience.
Oh, would it be me? It's funny, we talk about relationships. My mother, Margarita, called me the other day and said she checked her husband's phone and found another bitch texting him. He's 78. When does it end, fellas? Like, when? And he pees on himself. I need to know the bitch that's texting. You know, who's texting him? He got toe fungus. And he got to depend on. Like, I want to know who is fucking for a social security check. Who is riding a dick that's popping out of a diaper for social security money? I need to meet this bitch. Because she got a stomach of steel. You know, the older men get, the more they share their problems with us ladies because they think we're getting older too and that we're not worthy of more. Like, they tell us all kinds of shit that we don't need to know. How bad their credit is, their living conditions. You know, this guy was trying to talk to me. He lives in an apartment that's so small he can't stand up straight in it. He told me that. And I was like, you inviting me into your struggle? My girlfriends the other day were trying to tell me, because they're now getting me like back into this dating game, and they were like, yo, these are the two options of men that we got. She said, you could date a man who's gonna sweep you off your feet, then take you to dinners, you're gonna have a good time, he's gonna be your soulmate, you're gonna dance with him, he's gonna be like your perfect spades partner. But he's gonna fuck your sister. Or you can date a gargoyle who will never cheat on you. You have a secure home, he'll follow you to the bathroom, but you're gonna wanna stab him in his sleep. And I was like, wow, fuck it, my sister fine. Sharing is caring. But I noticed that the younger generation, they don't subscribe to that cheating mentality. They're like, we don't doing that. They're like people from the 60s. They're having their own sexual revolution. They're doing their own thing. I have a niece that told me, she's like, I don't know if you know what I am, but I'm a pansexual. And I was like, what's a pansexual? She said, a pansexual is a person who has sex with men, women, trans people, queer people. I said, oh, you a hoe. Okay. I got it.
Ida nods with a serious expression.
Gotcha. She was like, yes, I'm sex positive. We own the word. I was like, auntie's not a hoe. She's like, no, auntie is delusional. She was like, you want to date somebody who only wants to be with you? And she just laughed in my face. She was like, that's so 80s. Comedy has become so difficult to do because comedians are held to a higher standard than motherfuckers in public office. Straight up.
She stands in one spot and rotates her torso side to side.
I was doing comedy in Arizona, baby Texas. And I was being heckled by a blind man at a show. And you can yelp this. This is happening for real. And I know he was blind because he kept saying, I'm blind, make fun of me. And he was facing the back.
She shakes her head with irritation.
Straight up. And I was like, hell no, I'm not fucking with this man. This man is gonna get me canceled. So I just turned around and did comedy for the people who could see. And after the show, he made his way to me. It took him a minute. But when he got to me, he was like, you're full of shit. He said, you made fun of everybody in this audience and you didn't make fun of me. And I think that's bullshit. He was like, I wanted to be in on the joke. He said, I come to this comedy club every week. And next time I come back, you better have a joke about blind people. So I wrote a joke about blind people. Because I believe in diversity and inclusion.
Ida nods.
So I don't know if you know this, but 7 blind people climbed Mount Everest. And I'd like to know who put that tour together. Can you imagine? That person is evil. They were like, yo, you want to see some funny shit? I'm about to run these 7 blind motherfuckers up this mountain. Bring your camera. Let's see who makes it. I want to know what they did when they got to the top. Don't you? Did they listen for danger? Took a deep breath and inhaled death? And how do they know they actually made it to the top? Listen, if it was me, I'd take them up the nearest canyon and be like, we made it, guys. Let's take a picture for the gram.
She opens her mouth to speak, but hesitates and points to the audience.
She hates blind people. Yes, and listen, I will say this. It's very hard to do comedy right now. Everybody's uptight. We all going through this collective trauma. And those of us who are comedians, we show up for y'all when we're in grief, when things hurt, when we don't feel good about ourselves, because we get joy out of making you happy. And yes, some of us are assholes. Absolutely. Everybody got assholes at their jobs. Comedians are not exempt. So I say all of that to say that, in closing, if I said something that hurt your feelings, if I offended someone, I want to invite you to chomp on a dick.
She nods.
I do. Like,
she makes a chomping motion with her jaw.
Like, really, chomp on that bitch. Like, ah, 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 ah. It will release the tension in the jaws. And it will help you with that thing that you have that makes you think that everything is about you. I'm gonna go now. But I made a promise that I would close my show honoring Anthony Carthen and Tony Baker's son. So I said that the very last thing I say when I got off this stage in honor of Serene Baker is, let's go! Thank you.
Ida smiles at the audience and dances on stage. Waves crash on a beach. The Dominican Republic flag lines a street around a white monument. A basket of fruit sits on a bike, and a man plays a tin drum with street performers. Text reads, Santo Domingo, Dominican Republic.
I just want to feel the energy of the town and the people, you know?
Ida looks at street art.
I once lived in this place, and now it seems so foreign to me.
Leading up to her HBO Max comedy special, Ida travels to Dominican Republic and Puerto Rico.
This is all just part of the process for me to get ready for that stage. I'm standing on the shoulders of great people who did a lot of things and made a lot of sacrifices so that I could be a stand-up comedian, not a nurse, not a doctor, not a lawyer, a judge, a stand-up comedian. And that's a privilege. Truth be told, my mother was not in support of this. No one was, but my grandmother said, go do it. She told me, plan B is for people who don't believe plan A is gonna work. So this is for the culture.
Omar and Akaila, Ida's children, watch street performers with Ida.
I'm in the Dominican Republic. This is the first place that I lived after I was born with my father and my mother. My mother took me from my father when we were living here. I grew up not knowing him. I wanted to come here and meet my father and confront my issues with an understanding, a part of me that I never knew.
all good for comedy because all the trauma made some really good bits. But I can't help but to think about the series of things that happened in my life, if they would happen if my father was around.
I like to make sure that when I'm talking about stuff that is not about my life and that has to do with my social commentary, I try to be as informed as I can. I have a relationship with books that's very intimate. And also, I would find my father in the books because I didn't know who he was in real life.
Ida shops at a bookstall.
I remember thinking every day, he's gonna come rescue me from this. I would stand looking out the window saying, he gonna come get me one day. I used to tell them, I will find you anywhere. I just couldn't understand why he didn't feel that way about me.
I didn't know I was half Dominican until I got older, because they didn't tell me. They broke it to me like it was bad news.
Ida and her children enter La Cafetera in Santo Domingo. A woman makes cappuccinos as Ida sits inside. Ida picks up her cup at a table.
This reminds me of my childhood.
She sips the coffee.
You watch these specials and these shows with like comedians that go back to their cities and they go back to wherever they're from and they uplift the people from their communities. So why not us?
Subtitles. I think that's going to be a real success.
Growing up, it was a disservice to me, all of the tropes that were given to me that affected my self-esteem because I also am Dominican. And I felt very disconnected from my people. To be told that that part of me was less than or something I shouldn't claim has been very hurtful. And so coming here has been part of my healing, not just about my father, but just to see faces and talk to people and all of their beauty and how they show up is very important to me. So I'm just glad to be here. And listen, it is important for me to talk about my people because you don't see Latinos in comedy in these spaces.
I write it down, I type it, and then I write on stage. And if it works, then I write it down as a joke.
How am I gonna tell those jokes about my father in the Dominican Republic in a way that doesn't seem like I'm perpetuating stereotypes about Dominicans? That's how much shit I have to think about when I write a joke. I have to manage my own experience so that I don't offend somebody. That's what happened in my life, and my story matters, and I should be able to tell it. I lean into it because I'm not gonna let nobody bully me into making me believe that my story doesn't matter because it makes them feel a certain way. If you don't like it, go pick up the mic, pick up a pen, pick up a camera, and go tell your own fucking story and stop telling me how to tell mine. Right now, I'm not centered either, so I need help.
Trying to figure out if should I look pretty for him to show him like, look what you missed out on? Should I dress down and show him like, you know, all that, I don't need to be dressing up for you. This is the first time I will have seen him. I don't know how old I was. The lies and the stories have changed so much, but I know I was young enough that I don't remember him.
Am I supposed to open the door?
Ida opens the door. An older man with a ponytail wearing a protective mask enters. Her father weeps. Ida hugs him and holds him tightly. Subtitles, how are things? Maximo, Ida's biological father.
It was a very awkward exchange for me. The reality of this idea of what it would be to meet my father and my rescuer and my protector and, you know, the king of my life. And it's disheartening to finally meet your father. Now he's frail. You don't just see somebody and then all these years of pain and hurt just disappear because you meet somebody.
Ida asks, did we live far from here? Maximo replies, we'll go there. It's not far.
This is like the first step of the beginning. It's not the climax of the story. And there's a lot of work to be done so that we can have a relationship.
Ida, her children, and relatives sit at a dining table. Gandhari, Ida's sister, speaks. Subtitles. Since I'm the romantic one in the family, I want to say that love is the strongest force in the world. Here's to love. Here's to unity. Here's to family, damn it. Ida responds with, I'm the comedian, she's the preacher. Tiffany, Ida's sister, speaks. Subtitles. I used to say I'm the older sister, and they would say, no, you have an older sister. I thought I was the oldest. Mariana, Ida's sister, says, really, I'm so happy to get to meet you.
He seemed like he was dealing with some accountability. But I was most moved by the children, and I think that was the hardest part for me, just meeting them and then having to walk away. I wanted to feel something, and, you know, today I felt it. They were that emotional CPR that I needed.
Ida hugs her relatives wearing a protective mask.
You okay?
She doing her best.
Ida looks out the window.
Some of the wounds will never heal, but we learn to live with them.
Even if it may seem off color to some people as a comedian, being able to write about it is how I'm able to process it and get it out. I don't know where this is gonna end up in my set, but it has to. There's no way I could not write a joke about that dinner. I came here to tackle some of the things that were very uncomfortable about my life and some of the cultural stuff that I gained from being here.
We got a good lineup for today. Published the show on a Monday night, and it was sold out by 11 a.m.
Y tú, como mujer, tell us about your experience with comedy.
It's been good, actually. They have helped us. We all help each other.
How do you feel about going first?
Nervous always before. You know,
I don't think any of you could be any more nervous than me. I met my father 2 days ago, and I'm about to talk about him on stage.
Ida sits nervously in the hair and makeup chair.
Let's go!
Ida walks out into a room with guests seated at tables. Subtitles. How are we doing? Greetings, as Dominicans say. She talks into a mic.
I just found out I'm part Dominican.
Very happy to be here and share with my fellow Dominicans. We need more voices from our communities to tell the stories of our people with dignity and respect. Clips of comedians Laura Nanita, Royal Perez, Maxwell Johnson, Eric Bonilla, Ariel Santana, Christina Sanchez, and Elias Cerule. I came to meet my family who are sitting over there.
I just needed to see my father. You know, it is a part of who I am, and that has a lot to do with who I am as a comedian. Making these jokes blindly just feel hollow. Being able to really feel it in my body and experience it gives it a different life that when I take it to the stage, I believe is what connects with other people.
Thank you, and I'm gonna do a video, and I just want you to cheer. Just celebrate like Walter Mercado gave you the best horoscope of your life. And because I'm dressed like Walter, so let's channel that energy and let's go!
I think a lot of times girls are given this idealistic view of what a man and your father is, and they're gonna come and sweep you up. And I always felt like I missed out on that.
Ida poses with her father.
All of that happened because it was supposed to. And it happened because it made me who I am today. I am enough. Even in spite of him not being there, I'm still here.
San Juan, Puerto Rico. Street views, chickens, and Ida looking out at the ocean.
Oh, so I'm in Puerto Rico, and that exhale was, I'm home, bitches. This is the most precious place on earth to me. This is where my grandmother was from and my great-grandfather who gave me my customs, my food, my religion. Here, for me, it's about coming back to Puerto Rico after my grandmother died. I just wanted to honor her.
My grandmother gave me pana and taught me how to pray. That's how I describe her and everything in between. Andaba con su pistola. My grandmother was shooting up the block. My brother called me one day and he was like, guess where I'm going? I said, where are you going? He goes, I'm going to bail abuela out of jail. ¿Qué pasó? The drug dealers threatened her, and she just started shooting everybody, and they called the police on her. Fue presa en la bata. She had on her bata and her house shoes with her gun.
A steel band performs on the street. Text reads, Caguas, Puerto Rico. Ida holds hands with her son on the street. Text reads, Planeros con sabor. Ida dances on the sidewalk as the band plays. She fans herself and smiles as she sways her hips. Others watch and dance, and her daughter films using her phone.
So how does it feel for you to be in the presence of these people who are also your people?
I don't know, it's like, you feel like you know yourself, but then you meet new parts of yourself, I guess.
Ethnically, how do you feel being here? Have you seen yourself here?
Not quite, but not.
The Puerto Rican flag flaps in the wind. A wave crashes on the beach.
Decided to have dinner in Puerto Rico. Some of my friends flew out. They're my chosen family.
People don't understand why we fight. I mean, we don't fight because we want to. We fight because we have to.
You have to continue to fight and work hard for what you need.
I'm glad that we fight. I'm glad my grandmother wasn't a punk. That's not because she's perpetuating a stereotype. That was because she was protecting what she believed was worthy enough to protect.
You know, our words are our swords. They're sharp.
Yeah.
I'm very happy and proud that they did give me that fight. What I endured in life, I would not have been able to had I not had that fight in me.
A Puerto Rican flag flaps in a cemetery.
When my grandmother passed away, it was like my hero died because she was like the strongest person I ever met in my life.
I think about just the privileges that I've had that my grandmother never had. She didn't even go to school. She didn't learn how to read. She didn't wear shoes until she got a little bit older. The greatest sacrifice that she ever made was leaving her homeland because she loved this place. She went out in search of a better life. I'm standing on her shoulders and the shoulders of the people who came before her. You know, just writing the jokes that I tell about my truth with regards to how I grew up. The word has always been a way for me to defend myself. And that's always me paying homage to my grandmother because she always made me promise that I will always fight for myself. It's in my genetic code to fight for myself.
A street dancer waves her skirt as she sways her hips side to side. Maya Yen and the group Tambui. Title reads, Ida Rodriguez, Fighting Words. Written and performed by Ida Rodriguez. Executive producer, Ida Rodriguez. Executive producers, Michelle Caputo and Shannon Hartman. Comedy special directed by Christian Mercado. Documentary directed by Nadia Hallgren. In memory of Serene Baker, Anthony Nick Carthen, Scott Cohen, Fuquan Johnson, You Are Loved. Art and Industry Production Card. Dancing with Raymond Media House.